Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined by Preds assistant coach Todd Richards coming up at 8:30. We'll get his thoughts on the game last night against the Stars and look ahead to Saturday against Winnipeg. Charles Robinson, who normally joins us on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock, will join us today at 9 o'clock to talk all things NFL. So looking forward to that coming up as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. By the way, Team USA men's hockey playing right now against China. They're up 1-0 in the second period. I'm going through the list of their roster right now and seeing if I recognize, like, anyone. There's a couple, but very few. Justin Abdicator is on the team.
Yes,
Nick Short Abs. On the team.
Michigan State legend, yeah, Justin Abdicator.
That's right. Apparently everyone in the world went to Michigan State.
Pretty much. Anson Carter, they were making some Michigan State jokes last night at Anson Carter's expense.
By the way, what'd you think of the TNT broadcast?
It was good.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was funny. They're having a good time. I liked it. It was good.
Yeah, I felt for so long, and the funny part about this is a lot of the guys that they're using on the TNT broadcast are the same people that were on NBC.
Right.
They just feel like they've lightened up a little bit. Like, it's okay to have fun sometimes in hockey. I wish more players embrace that, more broadcasters embrace that. Fun is a good thing. Trevor Zegras is fun. Connor McDavid has the personality of this wooden table that we're sitting on right now. He's a great player. It's okay to have a little personality in the NHL. It's what made PK Subban so enjoyable.
I'm all for it. Eddie O was having some fun last night.
He was. You know,
the Poyle interview was pretty good. That was interesting. That was some fun stuff. And then, of course, as soon as Poyle ends the interview, they get a breakaway
literally
goal.
Literally 4 seconds later.
Right.
It was good stuff.
Yeah.
Joe, but we have a special Thursday edition of the Rex Rant. What's on your mind that has you ranting on this Thursday morning?
Yeah, I had to throw this in. I don't know if anybody saw this. I hope you saw it and you're all so mad like I am. But the Horizon League has decided to ban UIC, Illinois-Chicago, from conference tournaments, winter and spring sports. UIC recently, about a month ago, announced that they were leaving for the Missouri Valley, which, of course, Belmont is doing as well.
Yes. Mute for me.
Mute for you. So, the Horizon League is upset about this and has banned them. And, first of all, Julie Rowlock, who is in charge of the Horizon League, the commissioner, I actually know her going way back to when she was in NCAA enforcement. And I did some stories on NCAA enforcement and talked to her. And I don't know exactly what all happened to her there, but classic, I mean, just the definition of an NCAA bureaucrat, and just an embarrassing decision to me. And then they actually blocked people on Twitter, like preemptively blocked some national media from like responding to this.
Oh, that's good.
You know, now, but I don't want to just rip the Horizon League, which is one of three leagues. I mean, the movement is all over the place, okay? Horizon League is not alone. There are 18 pending membership changes out there. And again, Belmont is one of them. They're out of the OVC after this year. The OVC. And Belmont is competing the OVC. By the way, big game against Morehead State tonight. This is how things should go. There's so much movement. You have to understand this. You have to let the kids actually play their sports, because you have right now 200 athletes at UIC who now, because of this ridiculous short-sighted move, boom, they're done. You are no longer competing. More than 200 USC athletes, you no longer get a chance to compete. They had no say in this. They have no say in what conference they're going to be in or what's going to happen. This is all just a money grab.
Yeah.
And so now they get screwed by this. So, again, 18 membership changes. There are two. The America East did this to Stony Brook. The Colonial did this to James Madison in both cases. Again, same thing. It's outrageous. It's outrageous. But I will also look at UIC. Now, some people are saying, well, the bylaws are what they are. The bylaws say that, you know, you have to give like a year notice. I will look at UIC also. They put out statements yesterday, and they were so like, it was all like, you are denying our student athletes their. And it's like, I mean, really, it just felt like you're just basically dangling these kids now and using them. Because again, it's just people complaining, adults whining and complaining, and money grabbing and being vindictive. So I didn't the USC statements. I also thought, you know, it was a little bit disingenuous. But the bottom line is, like, this should not happen. This is something that should, like, this is something I think that there needs to be some legislation on this. You know, like some kind of legislation that these conferences can't vindictively do this. Like once a school year has started, these kids are in. Again, if this happened in the summer, and then that ruling came down, then all of these 200-plus USC athletes could say, okay, well, I'm going to go somewhere else because I want to compete for a championship. I don't want to have a postseason ban. But you do it in the school year like this, and immediately, boom, that's it. I mean, I really hope they decide to reverse it. And until they do, I really hope they keep taking crap for it because it's just ridiculous.
Well, the first thing I thought of when I saw this, and I know it's not an apples-to-apples comparison because you're talking about next year, and in the SEC's case, it could be, what, 2024, 2025 before it happens. But I did think of Oklahoma and Texas, and I was like, can you imagine what the outcry would be if, like, Oklahoma ran undefeated this year and we're just going to the playoff, and the Big 12 was like, no, you're not playing our conference title game. It's not happening, man. You're leaving for the SEC. We're not doing it.
Right.
I mean, people would lose their minds. Now, obviously, again, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison.
You know why they wouldn't? Because there's money to be lost in doing that.
Exactly. So that's why it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. But I did think about that. Like, it's the Horizon League. Like, a lot of people out there probably don't even know what the Horizon League is. But that doesn't make it any less stupid. Like, it's just a dumb decision. Like, it's so petty that they're doing this. And the first thing I thought about was, can you imagine if the Big 12 did this to Oklahoma, Texas, what the reaction would be?
Yeah, it's vindictive adults who are all, it's really frustrating because that's what it is. And yes, no one is going to, the hope is now no one's really going to care if, the Lipscomb, wrestling team or not Lipscomb. Why did I say Lipscomb? The UIC wrestling or softball team or whatever doesn't get to be in the tournament. But again, like this deserves more attention for the ridiculousness. And I mean, going back, like, Stony Brook and James Madison, the same thing. It's like, and there was a little bit of outcry when those things, it was America East with Stony Brook. It was the Colonial. And that's the funny thing too, is Stony Brook's going to the Colonial. You know, the Colonial is losing James Madison to the Sun Belt. So it's just, this is happening all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
You can't.
And it's going to keep happening, by the way.
It's going to keep happening. The movement's going to keep happening. Just let the teams that are in your league right now compete in your league right now and move forward. I mean, how much about college athletics has been around empowering the athletes, letting them make money, letting them have choice to move around, not forcing them to be stuck in a place that they don't want to be, the hours that they put in, all these things. And you're still going to make a decision like this right now in 2022. Julie Rowlock, and again, she's the commissioner, but the whole league, it's a terrible decision. And I hope the pressure stays on this. And really, again, not just with them, with the America East and Colonial too, to change this. Because it's just, you're punishing kids, and it's just not right.
Two Rex rants in 1 week. What did we ever do to deserve this? I love it.
And you've had some rants, too. It's been a ranty week.
Has been. We need to get in better moods, apparently.
Couldn't even come up with the best thing in sports. Ornery.
We'll continue the conversation. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The NFL season all comes down to this, Super Bowl 56, and with the Rams taking on the Bengals, to celebrate, FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking all customers up with a risk-free same-game parlay. New and existing customers can place any same-game parlay of three legs or more on the Super Bowl, and if you don't win, FanDuel will refund you. Same-game parlays combine multiple bets from the same game into one wager for bigger payouts. You can build your parlay your way with spreads, money lines, totals, Super Bowl props, and much more. I like the Bengals on the money line. I like Matthew Stafford over on passing yards. I like Ja'Marr Chase over on receiving yards, but you take it any way you want to take it. New customers join today with promo code ROB to enjoy 56-1 odds on either team to win the Super Bowl. You can turn a $5 bet into $280 in cash. Once again, that promo code is ROB on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Preds assistant coach Todd Richards coming up at 8:30. Looking forward to that conversation. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Matt from Camden texting in says, I was really hoping that Rex rant was going to be about Jared and his moronic Jerry Jones comparison. When Jared started in on that on Tuesday, I could literally feel myself getting dumber in my car. This is coming from Matt on the text line. We did talk about that earlier.
It made my head hurt, Matt. Well, like I said, I mean, seriously, so I was doing dad taxi duty, and I actually pulled over in a neighborhood so I could text Caroline a thank you for just outright rejecting him. I was like, I need to text Caroline right now and thank her. So I'm going to pull the car over.
Stop traffic.
And then just sit here for a moment and just think, like, what is happening right now? But you know what? I guess creativity? You give a nod to creativity for that, right?
Of course.
I don't buy it, Jared. I don't think Jared actually believes that. There's no way.
I think he may have talked himself into believing.
Well, that's what it is. I guess you can talk yourself into like anything.
Sure.
But step back, write it down, actually. Maybe write it down and then read it to yourself. Maybe that would work.
It'd work
out. It's worth a shot.
Yeah. And read it again.
Yeah. Do some
curls.
Yeah, I can't think of. It's been so long since I worked out. I can't think of workout.
What are exercises? What can we do?
do some pull downs.
What do you think of all this and this kind of the state of college sports right now with the movement you talked about in the last segment? That's probably not going anywhere anytime soon. And it is. It's so petty what these leagues are doing in response. Now, part of me does understand, you know, from the league's point of view. Like if you're Bob Bowlesby of the Big 12. You're obviously really upset that Oklahoma and Texas are taking off and going to the SEC. So I get it. There are human emotions involved in all this, and I understand why leaders and you know commissioners of conferences are upset when programs and teams leave. Reacting the way they do sometimes is ridiculous, but I understand why they're upset. What do you think of kind of the state of college sports right now with that, with NIL, where everything's headed with transfer portals? It feels like a different – I mean, sports not the right word because there are multiple sports. It feels like a different entity entirely that we're talking about than even it was 4 or 5 years ago. Doesn't even feel like the same.
Yeah. Well, something happened this week that I don't think has gotten enough attention. Now, there have been other efforts of this for people who follow closely. You may remember Northwestern a few years ago tried something similar to basically form a union at Northwestern. It was Kane Coulter, their QB at the time, and that didn't work. So the National College Players Association filed a labor complaint Tuesday, basically saying that the federal government should view FBS-level football players and then D1 men's and women's basketball players as employees of their schools, which would open up, employee, labor situation in college athletics. So this is something, I mean, I've talked about this for a long time, like, this is the kind of thing, and I'm not saying that they're wrong necessarily, but this is the kind of thing that blows it up.
Yep.
Well, what it really blows up is if something like this were to proceed, and again, this comes down to really individual judges in some cases, and then you see if the case continues to advance. But if something like this were to take hold, then you're talking about fundamentally changing college athletics. Non-revenue sports concerns based on NIL, name, image, likeness, I never bought it, and I think we're seeing it. It doesn't threaten anything. If NIL is what it should be, and that's, to me, if you want college athletics to stay basically the same, then name, image, likeness is there. Yes, of course, people are going to pay people to come. That's what they've always done. That'll never change. But, you know, we just get
shout
coaches
out to Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, thank you, Jimbo. You know, it's just hard work, you know. But you know, or Nick Saban. No,
ain't
never,
you seen that education?
Cheated.
My God.
Yeah, best university in the country. By golly, dang it. But
you know where to find me.
We should just play that Jimbo rant one segment each week. It's so good. So name, image, likeness, you can make money in the market. Whatever the market says, make the money. Go get the money. If you're the Alabama quarterback, seven figures. Great. Okay? And you can also, as a college golfer, get a Ping endorsement deal and have beer money for 4 years. I mean, whatever it is fine. If you go labor.
2 years, have to be 21.
Oh, that's a good point. That's
come
right.
on, Joe.
Come on, man.
Yeah, no.
Joe's
sure.
like, oh, classic mistake.
Well, you know, in the 70s for a while, in some states, it was 18.
That is true.
I was alive then.
I do know that.
Did you?
Nice. Yes.
Impressive. So here's the thing. Opportunity. A lot of this whole system, and I don't think people understand, you know, this is the nonprofit status. The reason, a big reason it has been maintained for the NCAA is because of the opportunities provided to the whatever you want to call them, the Olympic sports, the non-revenue sports. You know, there's a minimum that you have to offer in Division I, which I believe is 16. Like, there are a ton of opportunities for sports that don't make any money, and a lot of the money that is brought in by the revenue sports, by football mostly, but also, you know, basketball, sometimes baseball, different places. Sometimes even hockey in a couple places. You know, that money then helps fund the other sports. If you do this, to me, like, those sports become just like club sports, and you can forget like scholarships and all that stuff. So
yep.
You're talking about a lot of lost opportunity in those sports. I mean, fundamentally changing things. And again, Title IX comes into play. That's where Title IX does not have to be involved in name, image, likeness, because it's whoever is in the market, whatever the market is what the market is. You go, you start doing labor, and then you have to, I mean, you know, you have to equalize things. I mean, so I understand the idea of rights of employees and standardizing hours and all those things, but I think you can do that without actually formalizing, like, labor, you know, college athletes as labor, because if you do this, if it goes this route, then that's what blows it up. Name, image, likeness was never going to blow it up. This, though, this could be a real problem.
Yeah, it could be a big problem. I don't even know where to start on in terms of if this happens, what goes on from there. I don't think it will. Like, I don't know that this is going to gain traction, but I hope not, because you're talking about a big mess at that point in college athletics if it does.
Yeah, and it's, you know, again, I just feel like this is one of those, like, everybody was worried about the unintended consequences. There are always unintended consequences of any kind of major change.
Yeah.
But I think we're seeing with names, unless, again, you're Pollyanna who thinks that money hasn't been flowing for, well, shoot, more than a century in college football.
That's what Nick Saban thinks.
Back, yeah, yeah.
What he told us.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So if you believe that, then I guess you could look at name, image, likeness and say, oh, this is really messing things up. But, you know, there are unintended consequences of something like this. And I even look at, like, Jordan Bohannon is, like, the former Iowa basketball player. He's a big part of this National College Players Association. I think the NCPA is a great idea. I think they should advocate for, you know, college athletes. And, again, like, limits on your practice time, all these things. There's been a lot of improvements in the last few years, and there can be more, but it's not an improvement to me to go through the court system and make it so that they are employees of the university, which means, of course, the university can directly pay them. You're moving this toward.
Well, you're not college sports anymore at that point.
Right. You're moving this toward every other country, which is like basically you have pro clubs and stuff, minor league sports, major league sports, and then, you know, the university athletes that can play some sports if they want to on their game. Now, Now, I think football still would be – football would just basically be minor league football.
Yeah.
And the brands and the passion, all that stuff, there's way too much money tied into it for that, to me, to change. But, yeah, college athletics, as we know it, it's over.
Yeah, I think for sure. So that's something to keep an eye on this week for sure. The NIL thing, it is funny because I agree. Like, it hasn't really fundamentally changed things all that much. I will say, though, like going back to the Jimbo rant, yes, they have, like, he was talking, you know, screaming about the 12th man and the education and the great university and all these things. And I was listening to Darren the other day, as he pointed out. Well, that's great. Like, all those things have been there for a long time. But now, all of a sudden, you're number one in the country in recruiting. What has changed? It's the NIL. That's why you're number one in recruiting.
Yeah. Now, look, Texas A&M, before NIL,
they recruited well. They didn't recruit this well.
They didn't have the number one class. Yeah. But they had, like, top five classes.
Yeah.
Now, was money part of those? Probably. I'd say probably so.
You just don't have to hide it now.
Just how, right.
That, well, I mean, Johnny Manziel.
But people still have this impulse to hide it.
I know.
I want to see. Let's put it out there, man. I think boosters are embarrassed by how much money they spend in some cases on bringing athletes to their favorite schools.
I know, but now, like, if you're a Tennessee fan and you see all this happening with, like, A&M and Alabama. Alabama and Georgia are different animals in this, but especially, like, A&M.
Because there is more to this. There actually is.
There is. But if you're a Tennessee fan and you see A&M has the number one recruiting class in the country right now, I'm looking around and saying, what are you doing, boosters? Get out there and start signing some NIL deals. What are y'all doing?
Yeah.
Let's get after it.
Well, no, I mean, I've heard from a lot of Tennessee fans in the last few weeks about, you know, why are we not doing more? Why are we not being so aggressive? Had a Q&A with Danny White a few weeks ago, and he talked about this a little bit, and he was like, we're not going to, you know, front end get in on this stuff. Like, we think it's a great – Knoxville's a great market, and it's all – you know, he had a good sales pitch for why NIL can work at Tennessee. But I'll say to these Vols fans, you know what? I agree. Your boosters have done some good work in the past, my friends, and we know this. Get out there. You got to be aggressive. Because, yeah, look, I still think for a lot of college athletes, there's a lot of things that go into a choice, and getting yourself in the best possible position to go to the NFL is a huge part of it. That is bigger than NIL money, but it's clearly a big thing. Of course it is.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Todd Richards from the Nashville Predators. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds last night against Dallas. Look ahead to the game coming up on Saturday against Winnipeg as well. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew from Hillside Medical Clinic joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hello there. Yes, right, guys. Valentine's Day right around the corner here. If you're frustrated in the bedroom, if you're experiencing erectile dysfunction, you should know about Hillside Medical Clinic. We've helped a lot of guys get off the pill. This technology opens up and regrows blood vessels really easily with just a few 10-minute, not invasive treatments. It improves blood flow enough that we can completely get rid of the ED, and I love that there's no pills or side effects included.
So, Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this technology?
Well, this technology is very well established. 50 clinical studies from major universities and the biggest hospital in America. They call it safe and effective. They call it the new standard of care for ED. I think so much so that the pill may someday be a thing of the past.
And Andrew, you have a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
We do. If you're ready to ditch the pills, regain your love life, or just improve performance in the bedroom, we do a lot of that. Call us now this morning. The exam, assessment, even the blood flow ultrasound. It's free. You can leave your wallet at home. Also, you'll get the gift that produces immediate results in the bedroom. You'll love that. It's worth hundreds of dollars, totally free to callers now.
That's right, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000.
Well,
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning. The Preds back in action last night. Tough loss to the Dallas Stars. And to help us talk about that and look ahead to Saturday, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds assistant coach Todd Richards. Todd, what's going on? How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. Great to be with you guys again.
Great to have you with us again, Coach. So just your thoughts on the game last night. Obviously, first game after a long break. Lots of penalties in the game. Lots of odd man rushes going the other way that John Hines spoke about he was not happy with after the game. Just your overall thoughts of your team's performance last night.
Basically saying the same thing that John said last night. And, you know, it was a good start to the game. I always say this to people, you know, sometimes the game doesn't go your way and sometimes it's you, but you got to remember you're playing against an opposition that's trying to will their game onto you too. But, you know, some of the stuff we did was self-inflicted stuff, puck decisions, turnovers, and then obviously the penalties. But, you know, we started the game well, got into it, carrying the play, spent a lot of time in their own zone, And then the penalties started to derail us a little bit. And maybe not derail us is the right word, but it got them into the game, able to get some momentum, obviously some goals, you know, two goals on the power play. And now you end up chasing the game a little bit. But, we stayed with it, lose by one goal. But just disappointing how you come out of it because you feel like you did some good things in the game, but the things that we did in last night's game were things that were in our control.
So, Todd, how do you work on cutting down penalties? Obviously, you talk about it and emphasize it, but what are some of the things you guys do to try to minimize those?
You know, our style of play, and we love our style of play. Just the aggressive, fast. We got some elements on our team that not a lot of teams have. And, so you're going to take penalties. And I think in a game, you're just going to take penalties. The aggressive, physical, because that is our style. Those are the penalties that you can kill off. It's the stick infractions, which is happening right now. And a lot of times it's just the reaching or where we have to be better in using our legs. We've addressed it, and you're always trying to find solutions to it. It is a fine line in our game, and I'm sure other games probably have the same type of situations that you're trying to solve as a coach. And we're trying to solve it, but the players know it, and they're trying to deal with it too. But it's something that we have to get better at. Everybody's recognized it. We can't be giving teams, five, six power plays a game, and it fuels their game. It can get them back into games, which we've seen in the past. But the other thing it does is, it limits sometimes it overloads some players who are the penalty killers because it's hard ice time. It's blocking shots. It's the battles. They have the puck, so you're giving off a lot of energy when you defend. And then the guys that don't get out on the ice on the penalty kill, they might be into the rhythm of the game. And if you take a penalty and then another penalty, some guys end up sitting on the bench for, close to 4 minutes. And now you might have lost your legs a little bit. It might take you two or three shifts to get back into the game. So it's just, playing. So we have that cohesiveness with our group, with our team and how we want to play the game.
Preds assistant coach Todd Richards on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Todd, even in the game last night, you guys fell down and were able to tie it up a few times in that game, and that's been something that has been a pretty common theme with your group this year, the ability to bounce back and tie those games up and come back and win in a lot of occasions this year as well. Where does that come from? And as a coach, after you see that happen and that can become, a theme with your group, is that contagious? Like, what's that like when it comes to the ability to come back and know that you have that ability in games?
Well, it is that. It's the confidence. Anytime you get put in any type of situation, and if you can find success out of it or find ways out of it, whatever it is, it gives you confidence. We saw it last year, and I'll use last year as an example on our penalty kill. We started the year very, very poorly. And you could see that when we took a penalty, it almost felt like, oh no, here we go. We're going to, you know, give up a goal or whatever. It just kind of felt that way. But towards the end of the year, when we got confident on the penalty kill because we started having success there, I think it became a confidence of climbing over the boards knowing that we were going to kill the penalty. And I think it's that way. It's, you know, this season with what you're talking about, you know, being down in games and finding ways to get games tied, to get it to overtime, get a point, or to find ways to win games. There's no panic. There's no issues. They just kind of stick with it, and they know that because it's situations that they've been in. And that's a great thing to have, especially coming down the stretch when you're playing tight games. The other thing that I do like about our group is we played a lot of close games, a lot of one-goal games, and we've been on the good side of it, more of the bad side of it. And that is always a good thing because your players are understanding how to play and then also how to win those games. So it's being down, but it's also having the confidence knowing that you've been there and knowing that you've had success. You find ways to get those points.
So, Todd, you guys obviously coming off a break here, and the schedule is, you know, you guys have played more games than a lot of teams at this point, lighter this month, but then it will get extremely packed with the schedule. Just wondering on UC Saros, I mean, this will be uncharted territory for him by the end, likely, and, you know, in terms of games played. I mean, how do you guys feel about his ability to handle that kind of workload?
Well, I think it's you know, as a coach, you're always trying to manage your group, manage your team, and Benny Vanderklok, our goalie coach, is you know, obviously has a great relationship with both goalies, with all the goalies he's been with, and that's what you need to have that type of relationship. And then the other thing is he's always in communication with John, and I think Juice has showed, you know, that's the thing about these number one goalies is being able to handle the workloads, but also deal with all the pressure and all the different situations that come with playing that position. It's got the most pressure playing that position. So he's done a fabulous job. He's got the mentality. He's got the work ethic. He's got the physical ability. You know, something that we're monitoring, we're watching, but Benny and John have a really good feel for it.
Todd Richards on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Todd, last thing for you here. Just your thoughts on Alex Carrier and the way that he continues to develop in your system. Obviously, we all know the story last year came up basically out of nowhere and was awesome for you guys coming down the stretch. He's carried that forward this year. Just your thoughts on Alex Carrier and his continued development with your group.
He's done a really good job. And that's another thing that's exciting about our team is the youth that we have. And, you know, you got him, you got Fabro on the back end. You know, you look up front, the young players that we have up front that go with it. That's exciting. And you know, what's also very enjoyable is just to watch the growth of these young players, you know, as a coach, and I'm sure as fans too. You know, you get attached to the team, you get attached to the players, and you know you're able to watch these guys develop and grow as players and young men. But his play, you know what, he's one of those guys, you can see it, he's full of character, and I think it's something he's had to do his whole career, you know, is to prove himself. And you're right, last year he kind of came out of nowhere, and you see those stories, and that's what makes those stories such good stories. Is these guys that kind of defy the odds of playing in a sport. You know, he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's not the strongest guy in the world. But you can see how he competes and how he plays. You know, he wears his heart on his sleeve. And that's, I think, what makes him unique and special to our team. And you can see how he has all the respect from his teammates and, you know, his compete level going up against, you know, 6'5", 6'4" guys that are, you know, have him by about 4 or 5 inches and have him probably by about 30 or 40 pounds. But he's in there competing against these guys. And, you know, he's turning into one of these players who you need on your team, you know, with his energy and his speed And again, just his will to compete. And that, you know, that's what John's looking for, is those ultra competitors. I think Alex Carrier is that. Now, he's got some ability too. It's not just all those other things I've talked about. You know, he can skate, he can get up the ice, he has some offensive ability, but, you know, really his character, I think, has really got him to this level and made him a big part of our team.
Yep, no question about it. Todd, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck coming up on Saturday against Winnipeg, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Great being with you guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks, you as well. Todd Richards, Preds assistant coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react to what Todd Richards had to say there. Get your thoughts on the Preds on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get his take on all things NFL. Look ahead to the Super Bowl with Charles as well, so looking forward to that. Thanks to Todd Richards for joining us in the last segment. Tough way to start if you're the Predators yesterday. You lose in regulation to Dallas on the road. 4-3 the final score. The first, I don't know, 5-6 minutes of that game, the Predators basically had the puck in the offensive zone the entire time. Like, they were buzzing. They were cycling the puck well. Didn't have many shots to show for it. And then all of a sudden, the parade to the penalty box starts, really for both teams in the first period. But that continued on throughout the rest of the game for the Predators. And special teams, you give up two goals shorthanded, odd man rushes, some puck management issues, tough hop on Luke Cunning as well that led to a breakaway by Roope Hintz, and all of a sudden you find yourself on the losing side of things. You know, I thought they were sloppy last night. I think, you know, in terms of execution, there were things that they normally handle that they just didn't handle last night, and whether that's defensive zone coverage or, you know, simple passes that you are expected to make. I'm not really worried about that part of it. I think they can work through it. The penalties are a problem. And you heard Todd Richards talk about it in the last segment. This team is going to be, I think, more inclined to take penalties anyway with the way that they play the game and how physical they are. And you can probably live with most of those if you're the Predators or if you're a member of the coaching staff or you're a fan. What I don't really have a lot of patience for are the stick fouls. And he brought that up. It's usually from the hooking or the holding or the tripping is either because you're out of position and you've gotten beaten, or you just stop skating and all of a sudden you just want to put your stick up there and see if you can get away with it. And the stick fouls are happening way too much on this team, and that's got to stop. Those are the type of things that can and will get you beat coming down the stretch.
Yeah, because, yeah, you got to build in some expectation of some guys in the box from how you play. That's fine. It's worth it. That's your style, and there are benefits as long as it's not, you know, out of hand with majors all over the place. You know,
Just running guys left and right.
I mean, you know, the benefits outweigh the cost. But yeah, if you have a bunch of those like last night, just, you know, 20 minutes of the game, you're not playing actual hockey. And as Todd pointed out, you have certain players on your team who are going to be overly strained now because of that. It's hard to have momentum. It does. I mean, look, Pierre Laviolette probably said that, you know, 20 times during that great season for that team. That was the only thing that was an issue. Like, this is a Stanley Cup winning team other than can't stay out of the box.
Yeah.
I would not say that about this team, but interesting how that has come back around. And yeah, just some, and of course, you know, you got players on the other team are flopping too, and as soon as you get your stick in the wrong spot, boom, you're on the ice. I think that happened to Yossi last night.
Yeah, Sagan went
down
pretty
easy. He was complaining. Yeah, he was complaining about it, but it's, hey, but you still gave him the opportunity. Like, you could tell he put his head up. Like, he immediately knew. Like, yeah, I just gave him that opportunity to do that.
Yep. And he looked ahead, and they were talking about this on the broadcast. He looked ahead, and the official in front of him, there's no call. And then he looked around, and he's like, oh, okay, so you're going to call it, huh? Cool. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, it's just one of those things, like, you can't do. And look, there was there was a lot of mistakes last night. So it's hard to really single out anyone on the penalty side of things. I did think, you know, we've talked a lot about Dante Fabro this year and how well he's played. I thought it was a pretty rough night Fabro last night. There's the turnover behind the net that Roman Josi had to go and bail him out and save on Jamie Benn right in front of the net. You're on a 2-on-1 on the goal, which it's a tough spot to be in. So I'm not saying that it's not. But when you lay down like in the way that he did, you better get the puck. Because if you're laying down and you don't get the puck, you're not taking away the shooter and you're not taking away the pass option. You're basically doing nothing there in no man's land. So I would rather in that instance go take away one of the two of them and make the life a little easier for your goaltender. I thought last night was a pretty rough night from Dante Fabro.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And I was thinking about that too. Like, gosh, we've been singing his praises. But, you know, tough night for him. So, yeah, some of it is just, you know, your mistakes put you in position to, and that's not that, but, I mean, in terms of going to the box, your mistakes put you in position to be there. But, yeah, it was just an overall sloppy game. And you'd say, hey, they had a few days off and they came back, but that's everybody this week, you know. And that's just a big, you know, Dallas, I've been looking at Dallas, like, are they going to make a little bit of a run here? You know, that's exactly the kind of game they need. And early in the game, you really were controlling them, and the penalty box changes the game.
Well, they're an easy team, I think, the Stars, if you're the Predators, and you're just standings watching right now. I think the Stars are an easy team to kind of put in your rearview mirror because you got a 10-point lead on them, but they do have three games at hand on you. So that 10-point lead is, I think, more deceptive than it really is. I mean, Matt Duchene talked about it yesterday with us. Like, you know, you look at the standings, it feels like the division is winning a lot. And I do think there's a significant difference in the Central Division and the Pacific Division. You know, Calgary went in and just waxed Vegas last night. 6-0 was the final in that game. But, you know, Dallas is a team where they've got Pavelski, they've got Klingberg, they've got all these guys that are good. Goaltending has been a little inconsistent this year. And, you know, some of their like Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin have not been very good. But they're a team that all of a sudden, if they heat up, they could be right there with you at the end of this. So I would not count out Dallas just yet. Now, the interesting decision they're going to have to make, and it's, I think, a little bit more of an interesting spot than the Predators are in. Pavelski's a free agent, and Klingberg's a free agent. And based on some people I've talked to, it doesn't look like Klingberg's signing there. So you're going to just ride it out and be a playoff bubble team and maybe miss out trading Klingberg, do the same with Pavelski, because you could get a haul for the two of them for a team coming down the stretch. That's the decision they're going to have to make.
Yeah. It's, you look at the division. So last 10 games, Colorado 9-0-1, Minnesota 8-1-1, St. Louis 7-3,
yeah.
Dallas 6-4, the Preds 4-4-2 in that time. Everybody has made up ground on them in the last 10 games. And, of course, now coming in Saturday, you got Winnipeg. You know, another 5 points behind Dallas, but still a team that at this point could still have hopes of making some kind of a run. You know, you want to just brush them aside and you go back, go down with the Blackhawks and Coyotes and, you know, leave us alone.
Yeah, like right now you want to put as much separation between yourself and Dallas and Winnipeg as you possibly can, because, you know, Minnesota is going to make the playoffs. I think St. Louis is going to make the playoffs. I feel pretty good about the Predators making the playoffs as well. But if you're top four in the division, you're going to get in. I know that technically only three spots are guaranteed to get in, but the Central is going to get at least one of the wild card spots, maybe both of them. It could be both. So you want to put as much distance as yourself between the Stars and Winnipeg as you possibly can. Like, Chicago sucks, and I don't even need to talk about Arizona. So those are really the two teams behind you that you got to worry about in terms of Dallas and Winnipeg. You know, that's why you could have just gotten a point last night. That would have been big. You can get two on Saturday against Winnipeg. I mean, all of a sudden, you're starting to create some pretty good separation. I mean, that'd be a 17-point separation there between the Jets. That's pretty good. You can live with that if you're the Predators.
Yeah. Because you already – I do think – I mean, Dallas is – that is going to be really interesting. If they're right – you know, a little bit better position than they are now. Again, three games in hand on the Preds. Right now, they would be – so, you know, the last spot – we be the Flames have 54 points, and they what do they have? I guess they have a game in hand on Dallas too. But if they made a little bit of a run, then they'd be in a really interesting spot in terms of buying, selling, standing pat. What are you going to do? You know, seems like they need to do something to kind of reboot.
Yeah.
But they're also a dangerous team.
They are. So we'll see if Predators can get back on the winning side of things. That's one thing, and we talked about this with Todd Richards. There is some resilience. Like, even last night, you get down. Like, you're playing so well, you're down 1-0 on the first shot of the game by Dallas. You come back a few minutes later and you tie it. You're down 2-1. Duchesne ties it pretty much immediately. You're down 3-2. Trennan gets in there and ties it. Like, this team, and I said this at the time, like, this Predators team doesn't go away, and I think you feel good about that as you move forward. But we'll see if they can respond coming up on Saturday against Winnipeg. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on all things NFL and the Super Bowl as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.